just so you know, you're not going to get to where you want to be if we keep holding on to stuff at this rate.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. This is Garden Fork Radio, Eclectic DIY. Today, Nicole and I are here with friends of hers. The easiest way is organizer. They're going to explain it even more than that, but they're called Disrupt the Disorder. And Nicole's talked about them for a while, and we got them on the show. So welcome, everyone.
I know. This is like Nirvana for nerdy Nicole. I have two of my favorite internet things together. Eric and Disrupt the Disorder. So why don't you guys give an introduction about DTD real quick so people know what it is?
Go for it.
Nisa.
Oh my gosh. I knew you were going to do that. Okay. Brief synopsis. DTD started about 3.5 years ago. I had another small business in DC, and we've always had like a real estate background. Our mom was a realtor, and our grandparents owned a roofing business. So I was like, hey, I want to start like organizing people's houses. So started off really small, asked my best friend Moore to join, and then my sister Nikita. And then we went from like organizing houses to doing like full renovations and remodels now. So yeah, it's been a blast.
Yeah, I love that aspect of things, of how you were trying different things to find the thing that you really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. So there's the three of you. And then, so you have, I mean, the way I watch what you guys are doing is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to my daily organizing videos. And I would definitely say they like appeal to a younger demographic in their Instagram. I have complained because I'm like, it's too fast. I can't see everything. I'm Gen X.
We get that a lot. But,
yeah. But I love that you guys have your own style, and you have like embraced doing what you guys want to do the way you want to do it. And I just really appreciate that. Eric's talked about that a little bit, that he's done trying to make the algorithm happy with YouTube.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm going to make what I like.
It'll drive you crazy.
Yes, it will drive you crazy. Okay. And then, so can you, what I was hoping you could help people with is, you know, full disclosure, first of all, they helped me organize my basement. We've talked a lot about on the podcast at action forcing events. And that's the idea that you have to have like a party coming up in order to clean your house. Or in my case, I want a basement organizing. And because I knew they were coming, I did it all myself.
Yeah, that
was. And so they showed up and they were like, Nicole, what do you need us to organize? And I was like, oh, yeah, I bought my food. You guys must have thought I was crazy.
A little.
A little.
Just a little.
No, but I do you have any advice for people who want to organize their home, who want to like, I mean, it runs the span, right? Like the spectrum from people who are hoarders all the way to people who just like have kids and need to like put their clothes away. But like, what kind of advice do you give to people who can't hire you because you're here?
Depending on what part of the spectrum they fall on, that can differ. I would say sometimes it's just like you have to start somewhere. And I think like starting small, especially if you are taking it on by yourself, because I think the worst thing to do is like, I think sometimes people might watch our videos and they see us like basically like, you know, do a whole house in 3 days or, you know, crazy things that we do. But we're like, that's our jam.
Right.
I don't suggest like, you know, you on your own walking into like, I think we run into this a lot. People walk into their room, they clear out like their entire closet when they have like a burst of energy. And then by the end of the day, they're like, crap, because it gets overwhelming. So we tend to tell people like, do it in small nuggets. Like if it's your closet, you need to go through like, you know, divide it into fourths and, you know, look at this fourth of your closet, fill up a bag that day, put it out, like that kind of thing, so that it doesn't get overwhelming. Because when you kind of go balls to the wall, normally you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
Bite-sized pieces.
And okay, I would add on with, like, you know, just like the everyday family stuff. And with a lot of families, you know, we know everyone loves the IKEA and whatnot, but like looking at like getting, you know, solid pieces to like hold your kids' toys. It doesn't have to be like a huge thing sitting in the middle of the living room. It could be a nice sideboard or a dresser and change the knobs or paint it and funk it up a little. So it's still aesthetically pleasing and it's like, hey, all my kids' stuff is back here, but yeah, it still looks good.
And adding on to that, clothes storage is key that we preach to like parents. It's like, yeah, prior to kids, that like open storage thing was great and you probably could maintain it. But like when you add in 2-3 kids and a lot more stuff, it's nice to be able to have some, whether, you know, some sort of form of clothes storage that you can kind of like throw stuff in and close the door a little bit. So if that's like a sideboard versus like the IKEA Kallax is like the most common thing we see in people's spaces. And it's not the most easy to manage, nor for the kids.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now. My friend Dave gives me such a hard time about my open storage because I'm a visual person. Eric's talked about this in his basement. Like if I can't see something, it basically doesn't exist to me anymore. Mm-hmm. So that makes it really hard to keep things nice and organized. And the fundamental key is less stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Oh my gosh.
We're always making less stuff.
So one of my movies that we watched during the pandemic was Don't Look Up. I don't know if any of you guys watched that, but I've probably already talked about this, but the last line of the movie was ad-libbed by Leo. And he said, we really did have it all, didn't we? And I think about that when I'm at the thrift store and there's like the weirdest game made with the weirdest plastic pieces that like was manufactured. There were lots of them made. Enough that they're at the thrift store now. And so it's, you know, yeah. So have you guys turned into minimalists because of this job?
I wish, but that's almost impossible with these children. No, we're not minimalists. I mean, people think they're going to come into our homes and we're like perfect. And it's not that way. Like we have lives, we have children, partners.
Like,
there's only so much you can control.
That's totally true. Okay. Well, so I wrote down questions. So let me see.
I'd like to jump in for a minute. I really like the kind of tiny steps, which we've talked about before, or 1% to infinity. A little bit at a time. I don't know. There's all these different phrases for it, but just doing a little chunk rather than trying to do the whole room, you know, like focus on one shelf and then, okay, the next day. So the like the 1% infinity is if you do 1% of a project every day in 100 days, you'll be done. And I really like that. I got that from a food blogger podcast, actually, of all places. Food Blogger Pro. They're really great. When I look at stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to work on that part of it. And I get overwhelmed a lot less, I guess, if that is a phrase for it. And I also think you're talking about your own homes. I think people in general are much better at helping others than helping themselves. You know, like I have opinions about how my friends should run their lives, but, you know, fixing my own life is another story.
But you make a good point, Eric. Like, I think phoning a friend can be really helpful. Like, I have a friend, she's really good at organizing. And so, like, I can brainstorm ideas with her and come up with ways to do things that I might not have thought of.
Oh, yeah. Also, like, I would say in our own homes, we really do take our own advice. Like, I think when people hire us to do something, we are trying to, like, you know, go 0 to 100 in this short nugget of time. But even in our own homes, like we're on Marketplace and doing little things here and there 24/7 to our own homes. And I think like that's also a part of it that we preach to a lot of people is like anything with your home, especially like I feel like most homeowners know, it never ends. And so like keeping up your home and organizing and everything, it's not like a one day event. It's something that you have to constantly practice day by day, month by month. And even when it comes to decorating your home, that kind of thing, it never ends.
Well, never ends. You brought up Facebook Marketplace. And so I know that's another aspect of your organizing that's amazing, is that you guys really try to source things. Well, first of all, you try to reuse stuff people have. Then the second thing is sourcing things that are secondhand in order to save money and for, you know, environmental reasons. So do you have any pro tips for us on searching Marketplace?
Quality. Sometimes you can even just search, like, I mean, instead of looking for a dresser, that you can get any dresser. It could be a Wayfair dresser. It could be, you know, an IKEA dresser. Like, look up specific names, Crate and Barrel, Restoration Hardware, stuff like that. Start small. Always vintage. Negotiate. Always try to negotiate.
Yeah, you had such good luck. I actually sent the girls out to California to help one of my dear friends with her house. And that was the thing that was amazing, was that you would, like, somebody would say, oh, I've got a beautiful 8x10 rug and it's, you know, $1,000. And you'd be like, how about 200?
Yes.
And they'd be like, yeah, 200. It's out of my house. It's 200 bucks I have.
Exactly. Most people just want to get it out. So if you can offer a fast pickup, that's key too. Because if you're just like, oh, I want to pick up this rug next weekend, then, you know, no wiggle room for negotiation there.
Okay. That's good.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Okay. Right? I'll pick it up today. I've got cash.
Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly.
Okay. Those are good.
So I have a question. How do you ever work with, like, mental health professionals? Because I think, you know, some people it's, you know, yeah, it's just clutter, but do you sometimes recognize that the person needs additional help, or do mental health professionals come to you? Does that ever happen?
We've had a lot of mental health professionals reach out to a lot of them want to join and see kind of how we work. But what I would say is, a lot of time with clients that are already dealing with like a mental health component, it's already hard enough to get them to, like, reach out to us, and then financially for our services. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of times they've spent a lot of money buying the things that are in their home. Yeah. But it's just different when you're paying for a service. So often we have given pricing and stuff. It would be great. I think we had one psychiatrist that had reached out, and she had tried to work and see if she could get insurance to cover her coming in. But it really just depends. I would say, though, that a lot of our clients that are struggling, we normally won't come in until they're either working with someone already prior to us coming, or they've gotten to a point that they're ready. Because, like, what I'll say is, like, the average person that hasn't worked with anyone or hasn't hit that breaking point, they're not letting us come in and do the style of organizing we do in those scenarios, because it's very overwhelming. Nothing would get done.
Yeah. I hit that point and I'm like, okay, let's get rid of this stuff.
And we've also worked with a lot of clients who are in hoarding situations that are mental health professionalism.
Yes.
So
themselves.
I'd say that's really common, actually.
That's fascinating.
I would just think, we've just met, but just your general vibe, I think you kind of offer a comfort for people. It's not like when you call the 1-800 dumpster people, they just roll in and, you know, and take everything. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a conversation that goes around, and I think people probably feel a lot more trusting then. And you lay it out. I looked at the website. You have a certain step. You have a process that you already lay out on the website, which I love, because then people know what to expect. They're like, oh, I don't know, I just called these people. Are they going to come in one day? And so I really like that there's a thing that people can map their brain around as how it's going to work. I really like that.
Well, and one thing they say over and over is, this is a no judgment zone. They're not going to judge, like, whatever, your choices for what you're keeping, what you're letting go of. Like, and I think that really feeds into your guys' success.
Yeah. It's kind of like working with your friends. A lot of people have said it's like having your girlfriends come over and work with you. And we're just going to keep it real with you. And even if that means like day one, you're holding on to more and we're like literally looking at you and teasing you, we're like, well, just so you know, you're not going to get to where you want to be if we keep holding on to stuff at this rate, that kind of thing. But we definitely do not, you know, beat around the bush regarding like our style of organizing. We tell people all the time on consults, we're like, you can go hire another organizer. They'll come in and do it in like small chunks with you. We really are disruptive when we come in and it's an overhaul. So if that's not what you're looking for or you're not ready for that, you probably shouldn't work with us.
And I just give them the eyes and make them get rid of what we want them to. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
Give them the
Would you do a follow-up or does anyone have on like a maintenance contract for a bit, lack of a better word?
That's been the shocking part. We've done check-ins with a lot of our clients that would be like in the like hoarding category. And I think the thing that clicks with us also the like the design decorating component for a lot of them, we found that that flips some sort of switch for a lot of clients that it becomes a space that they really want to maintain. But we've done even like 2-year check-ins with some people and it's just...
they've been able
it's to like the day we left
and keep it.
Wow, that is a really high success rate because that is, I mean, especially with your hoarding clients, because apparently it's almost intractable. So whatever your secret sauce is.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think one in general that we did a 2-year check-in with, she had worked with another company before, but they just decluttered or kind of like you all said, came in and just like got rid of stuff. But I would say even without mental health professionals being present, there is like almost like a therapy component that happens naturally just through, I guess you could call it maybe talk therapy. When we're working with a lot of our clients, we really do get to know them. We hear their stories. We can kind of tell you what we are kind of able to pinpoint kind of where it started.
Mm-hmm.
And we work through a lot of that kind of with them. And I would say also it's really common for a lot of these scenarios where it's just like life has happened. You know, everybody doesn't handle having kids the same or, you know, a marriage ending, et cetera. And so sometimes they're just like in this like state of doggy paddling through life for a little bit. And so sometimes by the time they get like their head above water, it's just overwhelming and they just need a reset.
Okay.
But it would look like hoarding to the average person, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah. So how do you find most of your clients? Is it just word of mouth, would you say? Or
I'd say social media. We definitely get most of our clients from social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. And then I'd say secondly, word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it's interesting. Sometimes you guys will, in a video, you'll be like, okay, this was different than we expected. And because I do know you, what one really cool thing is when you reach out to you guys, you have, at least this is what happened with my friend, you did a video chat with her and she kind of like took you around the house for you to get an idea of what the situation was. But I guess some people are better at not showing the whole situation on their video.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And it does seem that there is like different types of hoarders. Like some people mm-hmm. seem to be clean hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like you're not going in there and there's no mice. There's like not mice. There's just a real lot of stuff.
Yeah. Some people, it's just like a lot of clothing, I would say is like a huge thing. Clothing. I mean, Amazon, we did one client where, I mean, she probably
Fenty.
At least, oh my gosh, the Savage Fenty. But no, Amazon.
Yeah.
Remember Amazon where there were literally,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, she probably had probably 80 grand in Amazon packages just unopened.
Sitting
around.
Oh, wow.
It's just like, and especially with COVID, a lot of people went through a whole time frame where people were just buying stuff, like online shopping, just buying
toys was crazy for a while too, where parents had like brought school and daycare to the house.
Are there like anything that's how I was like anything to like
yeah
whatever it was, if there was a buying solution I would buy it. Well, so do you get rid of these people's Amazon Prime? Like Do you remove their credit card from their account? Sorry.
After they've paid for us, you know, they've had to do that already. No, I'm just kidding. They were.
Well, that's one thing I also like about you guys is you have like, you're willing to work within different budgets, which I think I've, you know, reached out to other organizers and I haven't had that same sense from people. And I really appreciate that.
Totally.
Was that like, is that like an intentional thing that you want to be able to help people of all different means, or like, do you have anything else to say about that and your small business?
I would say we try our best, but we are like, we're straight shooters. Like it has, like we joke all the time. It has to be within reason. Right. Like we had someone call up recently and they wanted like a kitchen remodel and they were like, my budget is $1,000. And we're like, well, we are inherently a middleman. Right. And then there's like labor. So like, we're not selling you like, you know, like unicorns and rainbows and just right. pipe dreams. So we'll be like within reason. So like we tell people all the time, great. Like if you have a lot of usable stuff or like pieces, so then, you know, your budget is going to be less than someone that like calls us and like they really just have a room with a bunch of stuff in it.
Right.
We've also in the past been known to pass on certain organizing jobs because they didn't have what we like to call infrastructure in place. And then that's kind of which led into where we kind of got into design and decor. Essentially, if we get called in and someone's like, yeah, I have a, you know, clutter problem, and we get in there and we're like, well, you have no furniture, you have nowhere to put stuff, you have no closets that are going to hold anything, that kind of stuff. We're like, well, we can come in and make it look nice for the day, but you're going to be right back in the same place in a few right. like days. And so that's kind of where stuff started spilling over into decor and design, because I use this example. It's one of my favorites. We had a client call and they had no pantry. So her husband was like, okay, we have space in the dining room. And he went to Home Depot and he got a utility shelf, put it in the dining room and put the extra stuff on it in the dining room. And she like flipped because she's like, I don't want a utility shelf in my dining room. And so that's kind of where we were like, yeah, you could a hutch, a sideboard. Like there's a lot of other things that could house the excess stuff. But then that kind of gets into that design aspect where like there's thousands of sideboards. What do you want it to look like? What's your aesthetic, et cetera? And that's kind of where we naturally started diving into the design component. Because some people, there's only so much you can do with the organizing side.
But I expect you to say that this is where you decided to go to couples counseling school so you can help these couples.
Oh my gosh. Working with married couples is always an experience.
No, but I will say with the whole budget aspect though, in a sense we do, like we will work with any budget. Like we're not like, well, we can only go shopping at these specific stores and or we'll only order furniture from these specific places, whatnot. If you're like, hey, I only have like for soft touches a couple $100. Okay, well, we're going to make it look great. We're going to go to Ross. We're going to hit Target. We're going to hit all of these TJ Maxx, places like that. And we'll still be able to give you that like finished look that is layered and looks just as good as if you were shopping at Crate and Barrel or West Elm, you know.
Well, there was that family, I think they were in New Jersey, where you like came in and redid it. And the little girl was just like, oh my gosh, I have a house now.
Oh yeah.
And you had gotten all the soft touches, I know from like, well, you guys are super shoppers. That's another aspect of this that nobody really talks. You're really good at finding deals.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hobby beforehand.
Oh yeah. Well, because growing up, like, I mean, we didn't grow up like really like well off or anything. And so our mom, when we would like, you know, be able to do our room, she'd be like, here's your like, you know, $50 budget. And so we would go get Oops paint. We would go to the thrift store, that kind of thing. So we could decorate our rooms and spaces. So, I mean, it just, it was natural. Like me and Nisa have lived together on and off for years, that kind of thing. And so whenever we go into a space, we're like, how do we make it home instead of living in that perpetual state of like, we have a sofa and our TV and a stand. That's just, that's not homey. You right, have to right. finish the space, which mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, years ago, we went to pick up a treadmill that I bought off of Facebook or Craigslist, I guess. And it was the weirdest thing because we went into this gigantic house in McLean, which is a very expensive area in our area. And there was no furniture. And they were selling like the one thing that was in the basement, the treadmill. I was like,
what is going on? And they weren't moving.
I don't even think they were moving. It was very weird. Anyways, nice treadmill. We don't have anymore.
I have a treadmill in our basement that I actually want to sell. And I think the hardest part is getting it out of the basement.
Bingo.
Right? So if somebody's willing to come and get it today, Eric?
Maybe. My wife moved on to a rowing machine. She likes that a lot better. And so we have this. It's a very nice one, but the logistics, because it's in Brooklyn, not everyone has a car. You know, you have more density of people, but how to get it to the other person's house. I did just read about an app that this group has Facebook pages. They have Buy Nothing Project. They have different Facebook groups for different neighborhoods. But mm-hmm. the Buy Nothing Project now has their own standalone app. And okay. so if you're like me, I'm not a fan of Facebook, but I want to give away things so someone will actually use it. Buy Nothing Project. So if you take, it's called the BN Project or Buy Nothing Project on the app stores. You could check that out.
Oh, I will check that because I don't like Facebook either. But
interesting. Writing it down now.
BuyNothingProject.org is the website. Because I always want to give things away, but I want to go somewhere worthwhile. Because like I live in Brooklyn and I live in a real mixed neighborhood. So if I put something out, most of the time, I think someone takes it that needs it. But sometimes you find a book or something and someone has grabbed it and then they throw it in the neighbor's front garden.
You know, that's so like, annoying.
Well, why'd you do that? And then I get all bent out of shape about this anonymous person, you know. And I, when you were talking about the dining room and the guy went out and bought a shelf, I'm the rolling wire rack guy, you know.
Oh.
And then my wife is what I call a pottery barn girl, you know, a pottery barn person. So my wire racks are relegated to the basement.
Right. There's a happy medium. There's an enclosed rolling rack out there for you, Eric.
Yes. The New York upcycled market was great, though. Got a lot of stuff up there because, like you said, no one has cars and people were just like giving away stuff if we could get it out of their homes.
Especially the apartments. Yeah.
Yeah.
The walk-ups. Oh, my gosh. The best deals.
Well, and the apartment that you did up there was like amazing because you came up with, well, you've done a couple up there, but the one I'm thinking of, the kitchen was too small to eat in. And so you were like, okay, we're going to put a table outside of it. And it was just like a light bulb moment for everybody involved. Like, oh yeah, put the table here.
Yeah, that's New York apartments. Like I thought DC was bad. Wow. Like,
yeah.
I have no words.
I've been in that apartment where the kitchen is that small. And my friend, he's a chef. And we're like, it's a like an Upper West Side one bedroom. And we're crammed into the little kitchen on a little table. And he's like 6'10 and 200 pounds probably. And we're all crammed in. And I'm like, why don't we just go into the living room? You know?
Those are moments. Eric, you don't have kids, but there are definitely moments with kids where like all of a sudden you're all four in the half bath and you're like, why are we all in here? This is dumb. I don't know how this happened. Get out.
Wow. Cool. Well, before we wrap up, if you guys had some advice for people that aren't nearby you and just want to start, is there a motivational phrase that you have for people or a particular project that's easier that you find for people?
I would say our motivational phrase would probably be less shit is less work. And that just summarizes everything. So like,
encouraging.
Yeah, just get rid of stuff. It's less work unless that's what you want to spend your time maintaining and doing. Yeah. Misa?
I agree. I second that. I think that, yes.
That's brilliant. Less stuff is less work. I love that.
Yes. Less is less. Less is not more. Less is more. Less is less.
Well, cool. So if you type in disrupted disorder in the search engine, your website comes up, and I really like, it's a really well done website. It's all sorts of information, and you're on Instagram and TikTok, and I'm inspired here, so I'm gonna get my wire racks and make them designer wire racks now.
And this goes.
Yeah, and let me know when the t-shirts are available. I've been asking for t-shirts of funny things their clients say for like a while now, and I'm ready.
We're working on it.
Yeah, we do.
Well, thanks so much. It was really, I really appreciate you guys coming on. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.